I got a card from Dorothea this week also, and she does miss us, and it was nice to get a letter from her. At the end of it, it said, "Keep preaching the good word." And I liked the thought. I guess it was the first time it really hit me, because she didn't mean, you know, hang in there. She meant the good word as in the Bible. Keep preaching the good word, because we know that she has trusted in Jesus as her personal Savior. She's trusting Him now. And I just pray that she would find the same kind of comfort in reading the good word and hearing the good word. She says she listens to television and radio and listens to people preaching the word. And I just praise God for that. But I was encouraged because she actually had thought that I was preaching the good word. What do you think? That just blew me away. I'm going, well, there's one person there anyway. I don't know about the rest of them, but she wrote it down. I can take it to court now. She thinks I'm preaching the good word and doing a good job of it. And I was thinking about that, and I officiated at a wedding yesterday. It was a very solemn occasion. I wore black. The bride wore white. Nobody looked at the groom. But I had to come over here to pick my robe up. This was on Friday. So I picked up the robe and I was driving back home. And if you remember, there was real dark slate gray clouds, patches of them here and there. And as I was driving back, I wasn't at Clay City yet, but there was this real dark cloud and it was hovering right over the Winters' house. I mean, it was dark and stormy, and I was looking at it, but then if you paid attention, you could see kind of through that cloud and beyond it, and you could see the sun hitting this great white fluffy cloud, and it was just really neat. And it, you know, that come to mind, in every storm cloud there is a silver lining, and it's truly there if you get at the right angle so you can see and the sun is hitting it. It really looks like a silver lining, and silver, of course, is a sign of redemption. So even in the bad situations, there are redeeming qualities. And I'm driving over and toward Noble, and there is the storm cloud over their house and the sun shining through. But over on the left-hand side, there was a part of a rainbow. It wasn't complete, but there was a part of this rainbow, and it was huge. Most rainbows, when I see them, they don't look that broad. They're just kind of narrow, and they're kind of faded. But this one was, the part that you could see was huge. It was broad, and the colors were very, very vivid. They weren't washed out. They weren't pastels. You could tell the reds were reds and not kind of a rose color, and the blues were blues, and it was just awesome. And I was just driving along looking at that, and I'm going, God, this is so neat to see all the things that you do. And then, as I was doing that, I was reflecting on a discussion I'd had. And the discussion went like this. I was talking about church with somebody here that attends the church, and they said, you know, you really don't have to tell everybody every time God blesses you. They're personal sometimes. And it's true, I don't need to tell you that. But let me tell you one. A few years ago, because of the idea of personal, a few years ago I was working at the store at Clay City, and I had come to the conclusion for some reason that I hadn't seen a Luna moth in years and years and years, since I was a kid. And I decided I really wanted a Luna moth. And I had made up my mind somehow, someday, I was going to get a Luna moth. And I kept thinking about this off and on for a while. And then one day, I was opening up the store. You go in the front, you lock it, you turn the lights on, you go out the back, you unlock that, turn some other stuff on. And as I opened that back door and swung it open, it looked as though somebody had taken a Luna moth. It was already, I didn't have to put it in a kill jar. It was already perfectly laid out like somebody had put it in a kill jar. And then after you take them out, you're supposed to put a pin through them, and then you put their little legs in certain positions and pull their little wings out so everything's displayed properly. There was this perfect Luna moth. And it looked like somebody had just walked up to the back door and laid it right there on the ground where I would see it. And I went, wow! A Luna moth. The desire of my heart. A Luna moth. It was so great. It was so wonderful. And it was personal. I wanted a Luna moth. And there was this Luna moth. I'm driving down that road. I'm seeing the clouds. I'm seeing the sunshine. I'm seeing the silver lining. I'm seeing the rainbow. I'm thinking about the discussion I had about the personal blessings. And my reason for telling personal blessings was this. So that people would know God really does bless people on a personal level. And as I was driving down the road looking at the rainbow and contemplating how great everything was, he said, "Would you like for me to tell you the difference?" Sure. He said, "The sky is beautiful. The clouds contrast with the silver lining." These are not words. These are just like, there it is. "And everything looks great here, and you've got that beautiful part of a rainbow and all jewel-like qualities. And I cause it to rain on the just and the unjust. And I cause the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. So what you're looking at in the sky, and no matter how beautiful it is there for the just and the unjust. Any person, saint or sinner, unrepentant, going to prison, doesn't matter. If they will take the time and just look up, they will see a grace. A rain on the just and the unjust, sunshine, and anyone who cares to in Clay City or Flora or somebody on the west side wants to look east, they can see all of this greatness and beauty. But that Luna moth is a personal blessing from me to you." And I, wow, yeah, that's cool. And then it raises the question, God, I have been in a lot of churches over the years, and I hear people talk, and the greatest blessing that they ever come up with is, I was driving and I saw a beautiful sunset, or I was vacationing and the sun rose over the lake or over the ocean, or there I was on this mountain looking down across this beautiful valley and the Appalachians, and the trees were at their peak. If you ever have a chance, go look at them. They're awesome, especially when the sun hits them. It's just beautiful down there in the Appalachians. And there's a problem here. And he goes, "I know there are people who are professed believers and all they ever receive is general blessings from me. They only receive the general blessings." And the problem with the receiving of general blessings is it's not that they're not there, because in the book of Romans, if we read if I can find it, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Like I said, if I can find it, "Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things?" The point is, God gives to us, in view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's Christians. "Certainly not God, for he did not even hold back his own son, but offered him for us. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things?" There are people who are denying the very blessings they would like to have, because the scriptures say, if you are a believer, would he deny you this other, all these things? No. But when it comes right down to it, I hear people say, "Well, I'm not blessed like that." Well, God never gives me God never talks to me. I don't know if God can. And they're in a negative mode. They're actually saying, if it's there, it's not mine, and they're pushing it away. There's that parable where the seed is sown and the birds come down and fly, pick up the grain and fly off with it. A lot of people are taking the personal blessings that God is willing to give them, and before they ever get there, they're shoving them away with words of doubt. I don't think that will ever happen to me. I don't think that God will ever bless me like that. Like I've said before, I had never had any kind of spiritual intervention where I was healed until this last spring. I did not believe in faith healing because I had been healed. I believed in the fact that God could faith heal because His Word says He could. I believe that God can bless me personally, even if I have never ever seen a personal blessing, which I've seen a lot. Even if I hadn't seen that, before I received those blessings, I had read in the Word of God that He can and He will and He does bless His people. A lot of times, we're not receiving because we are actually rejecting what the Word of God says, because what we want first is, I want the experience and then I will testify or to that fact, or I will stand on it and say, yes, it happened to me, now it is real. God says we are to walk by faith like He does, call things into existence that do not exist, and yet He speaks about them as though they already are. And He says that when He tells us, I will bless you personally, I will bless you with all things, why would I deny you? You're to say, I will have those all things. I will have the things that I need because God has said so, whether I see them now or not. But I will have them because God doesn't lie. Over these last few weeks, we've been emphasizing that we're not saved just by grace. It's not just this one event. We are saved by grace through faith. But we are to walk and live that exact same way. We are saved by grace through faith, and we live each day by grace through faith, expecting God to intervene in our lives and give us personalized blessings that mean something just to me or just to you. No, I don't have to go around and talk about the Luna moth that was perfectly preserved and I have it in a bookshelf and I've had it for over a decade now. But when I look at it, I think, God gave me that. And there are people who out there will say, I'm hoping not out there, but farther out in the greater world will say, well, Doyle's nuts, he's thinking moths are flying in and dying. It was more than just dying, it was perfectly arranged, and there were not Luna moths on every doorstep in Clay City on that day. I was the only one that received a Luna moth. If you don't know what they look like, they're green. They only come out of an eye. They're about that big. Cool looking things. Everybody should have a Luna moth. God is willing to work with us on this, and He's willing to grant us personalized blessings. So I raise the question then, excuse me, sir, how come then people that I have went to church with over the years, all these different denominations, and all they can cite from you is some kind of generalized blessing of beautiful sunrise, nice shower on my crop or my garden? Why is that? James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should pray to God, who will give it to him, because God gives generously and graciously to all. But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown about by the wind. A person like that is unable to make up his mind and undecided in all that he does, must not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. The King James says he's a double-minded man. He thinks this way for a while, and then he runs over and thinks this way for a while. Yeah, the Bible says that, so I should get it. Yeah, but I'll never have that. Yeah, but the Bible says that he'll supply all things. Yeah, but he's not supplied all things to me in the past, because look at this other stuff I never got. Yeah, but you was never convinced you was going to have it. Well, I was convinced there for a while, but you wouldn't have it. And back and forth and back and forth. And he says, God doesn't like a double-minded man. God frowns upon things that are mixed. Double-minded means mixed, going back and forth, back and forth. In the Old Testament, he tells the children of Israel, when you plant your crops, if it's a wheat field, plant wheat. Don't plant wheat and soybeans. Don't plant wheat and barley. If it's wheat, it's wheat. Plant it. If it's barley, it's barley. Plant it. Don't mix things like that together. When it comes to your clothes, do not mix wool and linen together. Make it wool or make it linen. Don't mix it. God does not like things that are blended and mixed together, because it's like being that double-minded man. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. It's an example for us. Yes, it's okay if you're wearing cotton and polyester blends these days. God's not going to judge you because you're not under that particular rule. This was something that was given particularly to the Israelites. Say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, Jesus Christ himself comes along and he says, do not patch old cloth with new material. Don't mix them, because they both will be worthless. Don't take an old wineskin and pour in new wine. They will both be worthless. They will both be lost. You don't mix these things together, because if you do mix them, they will be torn apart and worthless. Probably the most telling thing about mixing is the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 17, or 15 through 17. I know what you have done. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now, of course, we all know, and I love to say it because you just don't get to talk like this from the pulpit very much, what it says in the Greek, I wish you were hot or cold. You're lukewarm, you make me sick, and you make me want to puke. Now, that's what it says. My favorite phrase is, look it up. Hot, cold, mixed, lukewarm. It makes him sick. Do not expect God to bless you if you are wavering back and forth. In Galatians chapter 4, and this was a puzzle to me for quite some time, Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, it helped us. Oh, guess what? The book of Galatians is missing in this Bible. Must be one of them liberal things. Inspired King James. Oh, yeah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through 31. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one son by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. But not then as he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but the free. This was always one of those things that was hard for me to visualize what he was saying. He says, there's a hill, mountain, this is Mount Zion. Zion. Mount Zion, there was the temple up here. Paul was writing and he says, there were two ladies in the Old Testament. Abraham, who is a father of all people who have faith, had two sons. One by a bondwoman, one by a free woman. Agar's son, because she was a slave, would always be a slave. He would always be in bondage. He was born because God had given a promise. Abraham, you're going to have a kid. And Abraham, like so many of us, and I myself in the past, have said, God said this is going to happen, so I'm going to get out there and help him make it happen. So Abraham got out there and helped him make it happen. And that's why it says he was born after the flesh. Then he goes on, Paul goes on to say, this bondwoman, Agar, Old Testament Hagar, Agar is representative with the, is correspondent to the present day temple that sits on the mount in Jerusalem. And he calls it, I know it's Mount Sinai, but he says it corresponds to the Old Testament mountain of Sinai, something like that. Close enough. He says it corresponds to that. And I'm going, why? Because from Mount Sinai, God was handing down the law to the children of Israel. When Paul makes this comparison, on top of this mountain were two main group of people, the Pharisees and the scribes. And when you read the word scribes, just put in the word lawyer. So from the Temple Mount, these people were teaching the law and they were handing out the law. Hand out the law, hand out the law. The lawyers and the Pharisees. And he says that is the exact way that Agar and her son are. They were living under law and they'll always be in bondage. But Sarah is like the heavenly Jerusalem. She's free. She's never been in bondage. She was never a slave. And the promise was made to her and her seed. And God came down after Ishmael was born and said, this is not the one. Abraham says, but bless him. He said, this is not the one, but I will bless Ishmael. He'll have 12 kids. But this is not the one. But notice what it says. And Sarah does this in the Old Testament. She sees Ishmael aggravating a snot out of her boy Isaac. And she says to Abraham, throw her and that kid out. He will not inherit anything with my kid. Get rid of him. Abraham says, but that's my boy and that's my whatever, and I don't want to get rid of him. So he's dragging his feet, but God says, Sarah is right, throw them out. That's rough, isn't it? Throw them out. Now Abraham gives them some food, gives them some water, throws them out of the camp. Now he knows that God has already promised that he will bless or help that child Ishmael, and there will be 12 patriarchs come up out of that group too. So it seems cruel, yet he was walking by faith for Ishmael, that there would be a blessing come to Ishmael. But Ishmael never inherited with Isaac. What it's saying is, if you are claiming to be a child of Abraham, you've got two choices. You can be under the law, or you can be a child of the promise. But if you're going to walk in the law, then kick out the promise. If you're going to walk in grace, then kick out the law. You can't have a mixture. You have to make a choice. Either you're going to walk by grace, live by grace through faith, and walk in the blessing of God as a promise and trusting nothing, that He will just keep His word each and every day in your life, or you can choose to be an Ishmaelite and walk like Ishmael did and struggle and work and work and work trying to achieve to get ahead in this world. You can't have a mixture. It is not blessed of God. You've got to make a choice. Here is something that is just blew me away. The word mix in Hebrew is Arab. God blessed Ishmael, and he, from Ishmael, brought forth the mixed people of the Arabs. I'm not taking a swipe at the Arabs here, but the reason they're called mixed is because they were half Abraham and half Agar, and they have striven and worked and pushed, and yet what comes to them so hard was just dropped right into Isaac's lap, because Isaac was a child of promise. We're all the way back to the beginning of this sermon then. What are you going to be? You've got to make a choice. You either got to choose to live as a child of promise with nothing other than the promises of God, hoping, which is a sure thing that something's going to happen, hoping in Him for your daily blessings, or you're going to come over here and be an Ishmaelite and work under the law, which actually God's not happy with that particular arrangement. He'd rather bless the children of Israel, who are officially way over there under the law, than this mixed group right here. He says it's not to be that way. And we have to make a personal choice. Do we trust God, walk by faith, expecting to receive His grace? The question I have is this. I looked up and saw that rainbow, and I saw that cloud, and I saw that sunbeam, and I saw that silver lining, and God says that is a general blessing for anyone. But Doyle, there are personalized blessings. My question is, do you receive personal blessings from God periodically? I'm not saying you have to have Luna Malls dying on your sidewalk every day. But do you receive personal, very, very personal blessings that mean something just to you? Not to the world in general. It's not like everybody walked up that day and looked and said, oh, look, Doyle's got a Luna Moth laying out there on his back stoop of his store. It was very personal. Just to me. The reason I tell you about these blessings is I want you to know that God can be, and God has said that He will be just as personal to you in His blessings as He has been to me. He can give you things that are so awesome, that mean something just to you, that yes, you will look like Wacko Doyle whenever you start saying, oh, God's given me this, God blessed me with this way, God gave me chocolate curtains. Yes, He did. And the rods to hang them with, and the shears to go with them. Yes, He did. But it was a personal blessing just to me. Nobody else that I know of has ever really seen those curtains. Do you have those personal blessings? If you don't, there's a problem. Either you are not a Christian and you're just a church attender, and if that's the case, then you need to get right with God. You need to depend upon His Son to take away your sins and to put you in the position of being a child of promise. Or you are a Christian, but you're trying to dabble in two camps. Walk a little by faith, walk a little by works, a little grace here, a little there, and you're saying, you know, this Christianity just doesn't work too well for me. I'm going to have to just tough it out till the very end. I'm just going to have to bite that New Testament and just force my way through till I die and ask God why didn't it work for me. You've got a choice to make. Walk by grace through faith, which is a gift of God, the faith. Or go all the way over. Be a law person, but don't be a mixed person. God will not give you those personal blessings that you so much desire. But if you can kick it all out and say, that law will have nothing to do with me and my God because I'm a child of promise and He doesn't lie. And just like He gave Isaac every blessing that He had promised to give him through Abraham, in exactly the same way, God will give me all the blessings that Jesus said He would. Those blessings are yours because you are a child of Abraham if you walk by faith as a child of promise rather than dragging in that law. You can't have it both ways because you will be lukewarm and God will puke you out of His mouth. He doesn't like it.